Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone to Glenshell Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for coming out to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm going to let you read most of the announcements in the bulletin because I want to make a couple of extra ones. We had a wonderful Thanksgiving meal here at the church, and I thank everyone for making turkey and side dishes, coming down and setting up. Being here to serve and then to clean up just everything. It was a wonderful day, and I think total served 100 people. A lot of them were here, but some meals were taken to people's homes. So it was just really a lovely day, and people appreciate it so very much, and I thank you for it. And along with that, there's some Thanksgiving dinner cookware that's on the food bank table through this room. So if you made something and you hadn't got your dish, you can pick it up in there. The junior church was trying to raise money for a piglet and a spigot through the Presbyterian mission that will be sent somewhere, most likely overseas, to a third world type country. Their goal was $115. And along with the moose helping and the tickets that were sold, direct donations were $62. People just gave $62 last Sunday after church. And then the Moose is sending a check for $56 that we raised through that. And then the students had raised $5 for $123, so went over the goal. So the children are, and youth are all excited. And it's such a wonderful thing to do, and thank them for that. Remember the angel tree you see at the back? You can pull a name off and buy a present. That will tell you the procedure. Many of you have been done it a lot of times, but we'll make sure it's done properly. Remind you of the Christmas party on the 20th of December, and there'll be a congregational meeting on December the 13th following the service. And all persons that are members of the church can vote. Anyone can stay for the meeting, but only members can vote. And remind you to keep making those cookies. We need a lot of cookies, and Advent calendars are on the table in the back. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise for this morning, the Advent of our God, 120. Let's continue with our worship with a prayer of confession you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for being near us. We worship you because we believe Jesus is coming back for his people. Forgive us for not living our lives according to these truths. Help us to receive today's communion with open hearts. Help us to hear the words of life from the Scripture. Fill us with faith and love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for our personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins.
We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us with a sense of unity recite our Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another.
Good morning. So today we have Advent, right? Yeah. Advent's time for preparation. We're getting ready to, we're preparing for something, right? Yeah. Who can tell me what we're preparing for? Henry?
Christmas.
And what happens at Christmas, Sean?
It's Jesus' birthday.
Very good. It is Jesus' birthday. So that's what we're preparing for, right? Does anybody else come at Christmas? You can say it. Who else comes at Christmas?
God.
Oh, that's true. Go ahead, Sean.
Santa.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. Santa does come at Christmas, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Sometimes we get confused because we don't know if we're waiting for Santa Claus or if we're waiting for maybe Jesus, right? It's kind of tricky there, huh? Because who knows if you've been naughty or nice?
Santa.
And who else?
Jesus.
There you go. What are you going to do? I think Santa is just one of Jesus' helpers. A long time ago, Santa came from the word Sanctus, and that means saint. And there was a man named Saint Nicholas, and he was very rich. And he gave all of his riches to poor people and needy people. So he was kind of doing Jesus' work, right? Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions, though, and you can see if you can tell me which is better, Jesus or Santa. Okay? How do you talk to Santa Claus?
When you see him at places.
When you see him at places, right.
Or through prayers.
Or through with Jesus, you can talk to him through prayers, that's right. And Sean, you kind of jumped ahead of me. You already answered this question, but where do you find Santa Claus?
At
the mall. Good answer. Where else do you find him?
Over there at the library.
Over at the library. That's good. Aubrey, where do you find Santa Claus?
At the North Pole.
At the North Pole. That's right. Okay, where do you find Jesus? Go ahead. In heaven, where? In a prayer?
In hell.
Maybe. Getting us out of there, huh? Jesus is everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Is he here now?
Yes.
Is Santa Claus?
No.
That's right, exactly. And what does Santa Claus give us?
Toys. Presents.
Presents, what kind of presents? Toys? Anybody get socks? Yeah. What does Jesus give us?
He gives us life.
That's right. He gives us life. What else does he give us?
Joy.
Happiness. So who do we think's better?
Jesus.
Jesus.
That's right. Good job. So there's lots of things we do that in our whole life, right? We do homework. We eat food. We sleep. We go out and play. We play computer games. Some things are more important than other things, right? So what's the most important part about Christmas?
Think about Jesus.
Jesus.
That's right. And we have to remember that Santa Claus is just one of Jesus' helpers. And I'm going to ask all of you to try to be Jesus' helpers too this Christmas season. Do you think you can do that?
Yes.
Try and do nice things for other people and think of somebody else before you think about yourself. Just like Santa Claus and Jesus. Okay? And I have Advent calendars in here for all of you. And you can open these. There's a little slot every day, starting on Tuesday. Advent for Hallmark starts December 1st. So you can start on Tuesday to open these. And there's a little slot to open for each. Sean, why don't you take two and you can give one to Emma, okay? And there's one for you guys.
Thank you.
It's my birthday today.
It's your birthday today?
It's my friend's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Even I got a Build-A-Bear toy and an Apple Jack.
That's exciting. I'm glad you came to spend your birthday with us today. Okay, can we just have a little prayer now? Jesus, tender shepherd, bless these special lambs during this Advent season as they prepare to celebrate your birth. Guide them to be your helpers by seeing good things in other people and showing kindness to everyone. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening, guys, and remember to try and do nice things for Christmas, okay? And happy birthday.
Thank you. That was wonderful. But I got to admit, I got a little scared when you started comparing the two.
Wondering, we place our hope in the one who speaks the truth.
On those living in the land of darkness, a light has dawned.
This morning, we light the first candle, which reminds us that our hope is the everlasting God who pierces the darkness of this world and reaches into the brokenness of our lives, granting the promise of a new tomorrow. Gracious Lord, as we move from darkness to light throughout our Advent journey, open our eyes to see your unveiled glory. Guide us, we pray, as we join the refrain of faith. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our responsive reading for this Communion Sunday is 718, A Contemporary Affirmation of Faith. We believe in Jesus Christ the Lord, who was promised to the people of Israel, who came in the flesh to dwell among us, who announced the coming of the rule of God, who gathered disciples and taught them, who died on the cross to free us from sin, who rose from the dead to give us life and hope, who reigns in heaven at the right hand of God, who comes to judge and bring justice to victory.
We believe in God, his Father, who raised him from the dead, who created who acts to deliver his people in times of need, who desires all men everywhere to be saved, who rules over the destinies of men and nations, who continues to love men even when they reject him.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is a form of God present in the church, who moves men and women to faith and obedience, who is a guarantee of our deliverance, who leads us to find God's will in the Word, who assists those whom he renews in prayer, who guides us in discernment, who impels us to act together.
We believe God has made us his people, to invite others to follow Christ, to encourage one another to deeper commitment, to proclaim forgiveness of sins and hope, to reconcile men to God through word and deed, to bear witness to the power of love over hate, to proclaim Jesus the Lord over all, to meet the daily tasks of life with purpose, to suffer joyfully for the cause of right, to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the age, to the praise of his glory. Amen.
This time I invite the elder on the door to come forth with a prayer and praise request.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to ask for one for my father-in-law, Patrick D'Amico, if you could all just keep him in your prayers. And also a praise request from Kathy Segi. She'd like to praise the congregation and all the members and attendees. A very special thank you to everyone who helped with the Thanksgiving Day celebration. You have made this a very special day for so many people. Many compliments were made that this was the best one ever, including delivered meals and eat-in. We served 102 people. God bless all of you.
A little update on Doug Cornelius. I had sent out an email that he was coming home on Sunday. He actually ended up coming home on Tuesday and is doing well. So let's keep him and all the others that we have listed in the bulletin and in the Valley newsletter, along with personal prayers that you may be thinking about and don't want to speak out. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this first Sunday in Advent to remind us that you are a part of our lives, that you did come into the world and you brought salvation. And you told us that you are coming again. We hold on to these truths. We don't know exactly what it would be like. It's hard for our minds to really imagine your grandeur and your power and your love, but we thank you for it. We proclaim to be your people, a people of faith, who are attempting to prepare our lives for your coming, to watch and to wait and to live our lives as best we can in the Christian faith. Part of that, we lift up all these prayers to you, knowing that you never leave us or forsake us. You're always there. You hear our every prayer, our every word. You know any amount of pain that we're going through. You also know the joys as we celebrate. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for answering our prayers according to who you are. And we thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, Let Us Break Bread Together, 323 in your hymnals.
Day, this first Sunday in Advent, as we're reminded again that you came into our world, into our lives, and you're coming back in power and glory to take your church with you, to establish the kingdom of God. We're so thankful for that. We're thanking for the gifts that you gave for your church to be used, that we can proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Others can hear it and believe and find the gift of salvation. Lord, I ask that you would bless every person that gives any part of their lives to your church and to your kingdom. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and even our friend. Amen. Frank is coming forward to read the scripture for us, and we thank you for that.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The reading this morning is from the 21st chapter of Luke, verses 25 through 28. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the seas and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near.
Thank you, Frank. I don't know how many of you remember him, but NFL quarterback Jeff Hostetler is not one of the names that we throw out usually for quarterbacks. In the beginning of his career, Jeff was a backup quarterback, and by the seventh season, he had thrown less than 200 passes. That's not very many over that period of time. Then Phil Sims, the starting quarterback for the New York Giants, was injured, and Coach Bill Parcells looked up at his quarterback the next one and said, "Okay, Jeff, it's your turn." So Jeff Hostetler ran out onto the field and led his team to victory, not only in that game and the other games, but also to the Super Bowl. During those 7 years, Jeff was in waiting, hoping to get his chance to play. And during that time, he threw thousands of passes, had a swing set up with a tire and swing it and try to throw the ball through that. He worked with the wide receivers when he could and the running backs in countless practice sessions, not just during regular team practice, but at other times, doing everything he could to sharpen his skills. He lifted tons of weights, did hundreds of push-ups and sit-ups and jogged and did all those types of things. Then he literally spent hundreds of hours poring over the playbook, making sure he knew if a play was called, he knew exactly what that play would be. He learned the defense, and when there was a game coming up, he would study the defense of the other team. He was ready when he was called. Nowadays, we call it next man up. We're at the beginning of that season of the year when we call it Advent. Advent is a time of preparation. It is a time of getting ready. The Latin derivative from the word Advent literally means to come. During these weeks, we focus our attention on Christ having come into the world and Christ coming into the world again. We consider the words of the prophets and their expectations for the Messiah, who the Messiah would be. We ponder the meaning of the text in the New Testament to speak of the return to rule, to judge, and to save at the end of time. Our theme for the Sundays of Advent is signs of Christ's coming. We live in a time when we're surrounded by signs, large billboards and electronic signs everywhere you go, in front of churches, on stores, directional signs, all types of signs. Patricia planned to attend a family reunion in Florida. They had not had one for years, and she helped in the planning, was looking forward to seeing cousins and aunts and uncles and that she knew, and then many that she did not know because they lived in different parts of the country. Been looking so forward to the event, even had helped plan this reunion. And long-distance conversations had brought all the plans to a satisfactory place, and they were ready, had the room, the land, food being brought. It was now time for the reunion. So instead of flying to Florida, Patricia decided that she would drive. But there was a problem. Patricia liked talking on her cell phone when she drove. And she also liked listening to music on her iPod. Fortunately, Patricia reached Florida safely, but the distractions of her high-tech toys caused her to miss a sign for an important turn. Before long, she was lost, unaware of what to do next. She began to fret. She began to worry. This was an event that she had helped plan, and she did not want to miss even a moment of it. But because she missed the sign, she missed her turn and missed most of the reunion. Signs are very important to us. Imagine trying to navigate in an area that you don't know without a sign or having a map or having a GPS in your car. Signs keep us aware of our surroundings. They help with directions. They even help us keep safe by warning us places we should not be. To ignore signs is risky, and it can sometimes be costly and even cost you your life or serious injury. Just this past year, my home state of South Carolina had historic flooding They didn't call it a 100-year flood, they were calling it a 1,000-year flood, and I hope that is true. But as roads were washed away, signs were put up, but people attempted to drive around the signs anyway and were washed away in their cars, some even losing their lives, ignoring the sign. This past week when I was watching the news, there was a story about three teenagers who drove through a stop sign and were hit by a truck, or they hit the truck. Two are hurt pretty bad. One is paralyzed from the chest down. Signs are there for a reason, and we cannot ignore the signs. In our scripture for today, Jesus notes that there are signs that will precede the coming of the Son of Man. Christ said that no one, not even he, knew what that day and time would be. And yet he said there will be signs. And these signs include and are cause many people today to be terrified. The signs, it was read, said that include the sun and the moon and stars being shaken and the sea roaring and being tossed. We don't know exactly what that means. But it says the world will experience an unprecedented state of chaos. Things will be out of control. It's a very disturbing passage for us. Yet notice what Jesus says about these events. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Does that sound like he's trying to frighten us, to want us to have fear of what is going to happen eventually? He's not telling us to duck. He's not telling us to run for cover and hide up in the mountains. He's not telling us to take all of our money out of our bank and stuff it under our mattress. He's saying your redemption is drawing near. Look up. Many preachers today are using especially the book of Revelation and fear tactics to keep their congregations in line. But what that does to them is make them always, everything is about the end of the world. And that's all they think about. And they live with a sense of fear. Many TV preachers are using all sort of fear tactics, talking about the end of the world and moons lining up and moons being red and all kind of abstract things to get you to send your money or buy their book. Too many preachers use fear as a motivator. Now, I've never believed in using fear, because the Bible teaches us that God is love. It doesn't say God is fear. God is love. If you're going to a church or listening to a TV preacher and you begin to live in fear, then my friends, it's time to find another church. It's time to change the channel on your TV. If you love Jesus, the thought of him coming anytime, whether at Christmas or at the end of time, ought to be a time of rejoicing and happiness and celebration for us. I just love it during the Advent and Christmas season when we get to sing Joy to the Lord. The Lord is come by Isaac Watts. I love that. That's my kind of religion. One pastor tells a story about seminary days. There was no gym for the seminary students to play basketball, so they would go next door to the school. And the custodian that was there would have to wait for them to get through so he could finish his work for the day and clean up. Well, every time this happened, he would sit there reading his Bible. And one of the seminarians noticed what he was doing and walked over to him and said, "Well, what are you reading?" And he said, "I'm reading the book of Revelation." Student said, "Do you know what it means?" He said, "Yes, I do know what it means." And the seminarian looked at him, "You know what the book of Revelation means?" And he simply said, "Yes, Jesus wins." And that's what we have to hold on to. Evil doesn't win, good wins. Devil doesn't win, Jesus Christ, God wins. And we, my friends, are on the winning team. No matter if it looks like we're down by 3 touchdowns in this fourth quarter, we're going to win. That's all that matters. the people who love Jesus. Jesus is going to win, and that is good news for us. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them this parable later on in the scripture. Look at the fig tree and all the trees when they sprout leaves. You can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. When we see the world going crazy, we know that the end is near. As theologian Marcus Borg puts it, the kingdom of God is what life would be like on earth if God were king and the kings and the rulers, and I'll add the politicians, were not. It is a world of economic justice and peace where the nations will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, where no one will live in fear. That sounds like a great place to live to me. And does that mean that there'll be no more cancer, no more economic chaos, no one unemployed, no more war, no more sickness, no more pain? I don't know exactly what it would be like, but if it's anything like that, then sign me up and keep me on this winning team. We're such a fearful people at times. Was it last year that one man in the United States of America died of Ebola? People were scared to go out. We're all going to die of Ebola. Now we don't even talk about it. It's over. We worry about the economy. But the truth is that we live in homes that many of us are twice the size of our parents' homes. I won't say we drive better cars, because I do like the old cars, but at least a lot more technology on them. And we're worried about events in the Middle East. And we should have some concern about ISIS, ISIL, whatever you want to call them. But when we compare the threat from ISIS, as terrible as ISIS is, to the threat that was going on in World War II with Hitler, and when the Japanese in a world war, at this moment, which would you choose? Well, we have to remember, no matter what is going on, it is ultimately under God's control. Not our control, not our government's control, not the military's control, but ultimately under God's control. A few verses later, Christ says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Does that mean we can trust every promise that Christ has made to us? Absolutely. Yes, we can. If Christ said it, we can believe it. We can count on it. Of course, it does include the promise that no matter what happens, He will give us peace that passes all understanding. And there is a condition in this. There's an if here. If we trust Him, if we place our faith in Him. Then he adds a word of caution. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and anxieties of life. Surely he's not talking about any of us here at Glenshaw Valley. I can't imagine any of you will be drinking or carousing or worrying during this holiday season. Well, maybe a few of us. What Christ is saying to us is that we live in a world of freedom, and some of us will bring heartache on ourselves by our unhealthy behavior and attitudes and choices that we make. Some of us will put stress on our hearts by unhealthy anxiety during the Christmas season. It's a high anxiety time, and it shouldn't be. It really should not be. The anxiety and the fear is not God's will for us. And that says, always be on watch is His final word to us. Like a child looking forward to Santa coming and bringing those toys and waking up with joy. Be on watch. Like a couple waiting the birth, like my niece is in January, of their first child. Be on watch. like a family waiting for the return of a military member that's been in Afghanistan and been there for 6 months or 9 months, however long the deployment is, waiting for him or her to come home so they can hold them and kiss them and have that reunion. That should be our attitude during Advent. This is the reason for waiting. It is a season of hope, and we cannot forget that. Our redemption is drawing near. The kingdom of heaven is drawing near. It is coming close. Does close mean this year, or 5 years, or 100 years, or 1,000 years? We don't know, because there's been stress and economic chaos and tornadoes and hurricanes and typhoons, earthquakes, all kind of things, and war from the beginning of history. So is this the time? I don't know. But I do know that Christ says, look up. Your redemption is drawing near. Watch, wait, and I would add this, work for the kingdom of God until he comes. May God bless you. Amen. Number 274, Break Thou the Bread of Life. This day, asking for forgiveness for our sins, believing that you do give us that forgiveness when we ask, and that we're cleansed, we can stay close to you. We thank you for this Lord's Supper, this communion, what it means to us, how it will touch and affect our lives. Let us take it with a sense of responsibility, but also let us receive this communion with a sense of joy, thanking you for what you have done for us and for our family and friends and for the world and for our future. In the precious name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Just want to remind you that everyone can receive communion. You do not have to be a member of the church. We just ask that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. The day that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and said, "This is my body which has been given for you. As often as you eat it, do so in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father." Let us, with a sense of reverence and unity, remember the body of our Lord. On the same day that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took the cup of the New Testament, pouring it, saying, "This is my blood which has been shed for the remission of the sins of the many. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. I am the Alpha and the Omega,
the beginning and the end. Father, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus has been raised from the dead, then you shall be saved. Let us remember the sacrifice of our Lord.
Our hymn of response, 241, Lo, he comes with clouds descending.
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.